Yo, what's up? It's your boy E.T., pastor of A Place of Change Ministries. Thank you so much for tuning into this podcast. You know, so many people have said to me, E, we love the normal service, but the podcast, we can wash dishes, wash clothes, work out to it, drive up and down the road, our commute to work. And so, guys, thank you so much. Look, you know, we have one goal here, and that is to meet your spiritual needs. And so we hope that this message helps you in your everyday walk, helps you in your transformation. And most importantly, we hope that it helps you to make the rest of your life the best of your life. Man, what's up? What's up, everybody? God is good and worthy to be praised. Hey, do me a favor. If you in the back, come on, give God some praise. Those of you at home, come on, stop what you're doing. Give God some praise. I told y'all, he loved y'all so much. He has literally interrupted my study time. He's interrupted my study time. I'm telling y'all, I don't remember how it happened, but I got it. Me and Didi, we were on the road, right? And so, you know, I'm going to be honest. Sometimes when I'm on the road, you know, I got a long road trip. I think I might have been going from Dallas to Houston. Sometimes I just got to put on some R&B. Come on, somebody. I just got to stay alive. Staying alive. And I put on some R&B, and this particular song, Miguel, you could bet that, never got to sweat that. You could bet that, never got to sweat that. And I put that sucker on repeat, and I said, ooh, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. God just downloaded something in my spirit. And so I was just going to do it that one time. I'm just going to be real. I just meant to do it that one time, and it has taken life. Jamal was like, I will never listen to that song again. And I'm listening to it. And there are people who I know, they just been listening to the song, right? And so I told y'all, you know, God gave me a series on this thing, so we're going to take it to a whole new level. My son was like, Dad, did you call him again? I said, bro, I don't know my man. He like, you need to call my man and tell him you done took his song and just made a whole spiritual boy. But I kind of want to walk through it because, you know, it really resonated with me on, Eric, your career is a sure thing. It's a sure bet. You never got to sweat that. Your marriage, and why I'm saying this is because, like, yo, you just move different when you know something is a sure thing. For real. When people start talking, it's like, well, I don't know if my job is a, you're literally creating a circumstance where it's not about to be a sure thing. You start talking about your relationship in a negative way, like you just spoke death over it, and now you're about to create that. If you really understood that when God says something, that nothing needs to happen in order for it to happen other than what just happened. I know you missed that. You missed that whole thing. I'm going to say it one more time. I'll say it slower. You are jacked up. Your life is jacked up. You stuck. You are paralyzed. You are not living the life you're supposed to live because you believe when God says something and there are certain things in the atmosphere, or there are certain things that have to line up, or there are certain things that have to happen in order to, listen to me very close. I want you to catch it again. I've been trying to say this the last few sermons. When God speaks it, it's done. And the only person that can mess it up is you. Period. If God, my wife said to me the other day, like, yo, you be doing some stuff, like, it don't even make sense. Like, literally, we left Huntsville, Alabama, moved to Michigan. We had it didn't even make sense. Listen to me. I went to a whole nother level. You thought I was doing something in Huntsville. I went to a whole nother level. Then my wife was like, yo, you went and bought a house in the midst of COVID. When the recession was, when the whatever was, how did you do it? I said, I didn't. He told me to do it, and I just did what you could bet that, never got to sweat that. You could bet that, never got to sweat that. Listen to me. When God's word goes forward, you could bet that, never got to sweat that. When God says it, he does not need anything else to make it happen but his word. And I'll say it slower for the people in the back. When God speaks, nobody else has to believe it. When God speaks, nothing else has to happen. So what you need to do is stop talking about what he said and just start living what he said. You could bet that, never got to sweat that. Huh? Are you hearing me? So we're going to do a case study, right? I told you, I promise. We're going to do a case study. We're going to start with Abraham first, right? And then we're going to go to Noah, right? But we're going to do a case study, right? Because I want you to see why the sure bet is not a sure bet. And the sure bet, you got to take ownership. The sure bet is not a sure bet, but you alter the sure bet. By the way, what you do and what we messed it up. So you got to take ownership. God is not a man that he should lie. God ain't messed up. You just start meddling in God's word and you change God's word. All right. So before we get in the word, you got to do me a favor. Please, can you just stop right now and take ownership? God, you told me, you said it, I heard it, but then I needed some other evidence afterwards, or I needed some more word afterwards, where I needed to hear something or see something in addition to what you said so that I could believe what you said. Just take ownership of it. Just take ownership. I messed it up. I started having conversations about your conversation. Just own up. Just confess. I start overthinking what you said, and I didn't know how it was going to happen. I couldn't really figure it out. So I messed up I touched what you told me not to touch because I couldn't just take your word for it. All right. Now we got that out the way. Let's go. All right. So today, remember we talked about three things. Number one, what separates us from God? For Eve, there was a separation. And the separation was, I got to know it all. It's what it was. The devil was like, well, you know, he gets some stuff. He know that you don't know. Rightfully so. He God. I'm just being real. Some of us get in trouble because it's like, well, I said I was going to do what you told me to do, but I can't do what you told me to do if I don't understand what you told. Listen to me. Just serve the Lord with gladness. Just enter into his courts with thanksgiving. Just enter. You don't have to know everything to be obedient. But Eve had to know. And when she didn't know, then she separated herself from God and got with the enemy. And for some of us, when we don't know, when we don't understand, when we don't have control, that's how the enemy comes in. Number two, there are times when it's like, okay, God, I know you got it, but let me help. I don't need your help. But today what we're talking about is when God does not show up on time. We like, let me get that. Let me get that out your hands, God. I'll take that. And then once you do that, it's like when you take the tag off the clothes, you can't bring them back. Once you take the tags off the clothes, you can't bring them back. Once you put your foot in the shoes and you went for a mile walk, you cannot take the shoes back. You wore them. And so now you mad at God and God's promises because you didn't took the tag off. Because you didn't walk on the soles of the shoe. But it's God's fault that his promises are not happening in your life. Okay, yeah. All right, listen to me. The danger, please listen to this. Please listen to this. Take a picture of this. Write this down. The danger of not trusting God at his word and taking matters into our own hands can lead to a range of spiritual, emotional, relational, physical, even practical consequences. Throughout the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, we see examples of individuals who did not trust God's, you could bet that, never got to sweat that, who didn't trust his words and suffered negative outcomes, right? Here are several dangers associated with the lack of taking God at his word and trusting God at his word, all right? Abraham, write that down. We're going to start with Abraham. Why? Because things turned all right for Abraham. And so we're going to talk about Abraham and we're going to see what Abraham could have done better and how Abraham's sure bet could have been a sure bet in the beginning. Now, watch this. Make sure you write this down. Abraham's failure to trust God's timing. Yeah, I said it. It is what it is. Yeah, you believe in God. You believe he the Savior. Jesus Christ, yeah, you believe he went into the tomb. You believe that 3 days and he rise again and sit on the right hand of the Father. Yeah, you believe that. Oh, he's all God. He's all powerful. Alpha and Omega. He is El Shaddai. You believe all of that. You do. But you don't believe in his timing. Why? Because when he don't show up, when you think he should show up, then you show up. I'm going to say it one more time. When he don't show up in the time frame that you think he should show up, you show up. Do me a favor. Stop showing up for your own party and let God do it, because we messing it up. And so Abraham's failure to trust God's timing and taking matters into his own hand is vividly illustrated in the story of his son Ishmael. Y'all already know the deal. You know the deal, right? As recorded in Genesis 16. Here's how it unfolded and how Abraham messed up by not waiting on God's timing. I'll say it again. Wait on God's timing. It is an utter disaster. It is destructive to not wait on God, but to show up on God's behalf and try to play God. It is dangerous. It is destructive to not wait on God's timing, not wait for God to show up and show out, but for you to clock in for God, try to pretend you are a creator and start trying to do the work of God. It's disastrous. All right, so let's go. So number one, as we stated before, God gave a promise to Abraham, just like he's given a promise to us. Come on, somebody. We got to start here. God gave you a promise. God gave me a promise. God gave me a promise when I left Detroit, Michigan, and went to Huntsville, Alabama. He made me a promise. I almost messed it up. God made me a promise. God made me a promise when I moved back to Michigan. God gave me a promise when he told me to go to California. God gave me a promise. It's in the degrees. It's in the books. It's in the New York Times bestseller. It's in what he's done in my career. It's what he's done in terms of changing my life personally. Listen to me. God made a promise. We've got to learn to not meddle in God's promise. We got to learn not to put our own idea. We got to stop putting our hands on God. We have to stop. God made a promise. His promise has every ingredient in it that it needs. It is prepared. It is ready. It is solid. It is a strong foundation. God's promises does not need it. The only thing we can do for God is not meddle with his promises. Come on, I'm talking to somebody in the room. Can you do me a favor? Can you just stop? When it don't look the way you think it should look, can you stop? Your relationship, it don't look, can you stop? When your bank account, can you stop trying to fix it on your own? When you see the letter come in, when they knock on your door, when they creditors come, when they try to give you that issue that don't, when they knock on your door and they try to get that, don't panic. When you get into a car, don't panic. When she says she want a divorce, don't panic. When they say we going bankrupt, don't panic. When they say the economy, don't panic. When they say it's war, don't panic. Don't panic. Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't let the enemy, when it, trust in his word, trust in his promise, lean into God, lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge. Don't, when it don't look the way you think, don't mess it up with your mouth. Don't mess it up with your attitude. Don't mess it up by trying to fix. Don't try to get involved. Just trust in his promises. Just do what he tell you to do, how he tell you to do it. He can't fail, but you can. His ways cannot fail. Yours can. His ways cannot fail. His will not fail. Yours will. All right. So number one, God's covenant. I want to show you what the word says. And he has a covenant for you. Matter of fact, when I'm doing Abraham's covenant, if there are any of the things God ever shared with you that you feel like have not been fulfilled yet, can you write those down? And if you want to write the ones down that were fulfilled, can you write them down? Watch this. God's covenant in Genesis 12, 2 and 3, God promises Abraham, then called Abram, that he would make him a great nation and bless him. Later in Genesis 15, 4 through 6, God specifically promised Abram a son. He promised Abraham a son through which this great nation would come, even though Abraham and his wife Sarah were old and had no children at the time. My. Can we go over it one more time? God has made you a promise. God has made you a promise to be a great nation. God has promised you whatever your son is. God has promised you whatever it is. Now, here's the challenge. God made you a promise, right? But you're human. Yep. So it's always something. And the devil gonna always use something to try to mess up the promise that God gave to you. So what's the challenge? Well, the challenge is, according to human logic, Abraham is too old and Sarah's too old to have a child. And then plus for a double whammy, they don't even have no children. So you mean to tell me, God, the promise that you gave me, that first of all, it don't even look like my wife has the capacity to have children. And then it don't look like she had the capacity to have a child at this age. Why are you making me a promise that you can't? Careful. If God says it, he can do it. If God says it, he can deliver on it. If God says it, it's done. I'm going to go back and I'm going to talk to myself over here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When God say it, he already, I told you on the last sermon, when God says it, he already thought it all the way through. When God said it in the beginning, he was already at the end. I'm going to do that one more time. When God said it in the beginning, he was already at the end to make sure that everything that needed to be done in the end had already happened. So when God speaks a word, he speaks it in the beginning. Amen. He speaks it in the end. Amen. He speaks it in the middle. Why? Because he's God. And you sitting there trying to calculate. If he told you you was going to be married, then you need to just be getting ready to be married. You so worried about getting married that you ain't even preparing for it. And when you finally get married, it probably won't last too long because you're not prepared to be what you dreamed of and what you saw and with the promise that God gave you. So instead of checking on God's promises and checking on his time, you should probably be, if God told you you was going to be a multimillionaire, you probably need to be preparing to be one. You probably need to be opening up bank accounts. I said plural. When you ain't got no money, you need to be opening up with the little money you have. You need to be opening up bank accounts. You need to be finding who your tax person gonna be. You need to be finding your accountant. You need to be finding your bookkeeper. You need to be getting your structure in line. You need to be reading books on all. You missed what I just said. In the name of Jesus, if God told you was gonna be a multimillionaire, you don't need to be sitting down looking at the time. You don't need to be trying to check God. You need to be preparing for what he said you was gonna be. Oh, am I talking to anybody? I just thought by now I would have an amen and hallelujah and thank you, Jesus. When he said it, he was in the beginning when he said it. He went to the end and saw it through. Oh, and he went in the middle just to check up on it to make sure it was on time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He made Adam a promise. He made Eve a promise. He made Abraham. He made Sarah a promise. Your job is not to help God with his promise or to check up on God about his promise. Your job is to get ready for the promise. And so I'm going to show you what happens when you don't get ready. Number two, trust is required. Abraham was called to trust God's timing. So notice it doesn't say anything about Abraham was checking in on God's word. Oh, he already knew God's word was real. He knew that. He's seen God work before. So a lot of us don't have a problem with God's word. We have a problem with God's timing on his word. Hallelujah. Abram was called to trust God's timing for the fulfillment of the promise. Despite the seemingly impossible circumstance of old age and Sarah's barrenness. Can you do me a favor? Can we take that term out? A seemingly impossible. Nothing seems impossible to God. So don't you push your seemingly impossible on God. Don't you do that. Huh? Don't you do that. My wife and I, we were applying for a global entry a while back. And unfortunately, we had a trip, on Friday. But we applied on Monday and I was talking to an individual who don't even really have global entry. And they were just explaining to me, they was explaining to me how long it takes. And they were explaining how long it takes because they didn't want me to get my hopes up that it could happen, in a 24, 48 hour. How should I say it? They didn't want me to get my hopes up that I could not only apply for global entry, actually apply for it, get approved, actually have a meeting, amen, somebody, and actually go to Europe and be able to use global entry before I, oh, come on. So they were saying to me, like, you gonna get it, but you probably not gonna get it the week that you about to go. You probably waited too late and it probably take a little too long. So normally it's probably gonna take a month or two for you to get an appointment, and you not probably gonna be able to. Listen to me very closely. I've learned a long time ago that humans are limited. So why would I rely on a human? I wasn't even relying on a human. We fill out the application in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And when I tell you less than 24, maybe closer to 40 hours or 38 hours, Didi got a email that says you have been cleared. Amen. Your application is approved and you can get an appointment on October 2nd. We weren't leaving till October 4th, Paul, because God, I talk to anybody. Can anybody hear what I'm trying to tell you? Nothing is seemingly impossible to God. So number two, after you check yourself about checking God on his timing, check yourself before you wreck yourself. After you stop trying to check God about how, are we there yet? Are we there yet? The number two thing you need to do is stop checking God on your seemingly impossible stuff. Because what's unseemingly impossible for you is very possible for the God. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, and it is a light thing for God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So I need you to do me a favor. I need you to trust in God's timing. Why? You could bet that, never got to sweat that. Meaning what? That you could bet he gonna show up when he's supposed to show up. You can bet he gonna do it the way it's supposed to be done. You can bet he gonna follow through the way he said he can follow through. You can bet everything is gonna turn all right. You can bet that. And what am I saying? When you can bet that, hallelujah, when you can bet that, amen, not only do you get the promises of God, you get to enjoy the promises of God. All right, I only got one more for you, but you got to catch this. So I was on the podcast with my girl Jenna. I was on a Gold Diggers podcast with my girl Jenna. And so Jenna was talking about, you know, January and, you know, how people talk about what they're going to do in January and how they don't do it. And I said, Jenna, I actually did it. What I actually did was I gave the keys away. Now I'm not a drinker myself. I've never got a physical DUI, but I understand the concept that, you know, sometimes you're not in a position to drive. And I knew I wasn't in a position to drive the company. So I turned the keys over to Mustafa, right? I need you to trust God. I need you to trust God. Because here's what happens. Sometimes you can trust, meaning you could turn the keys over, but I turned the keys over and I found myself, church, in the beginning, I found myself, is everything okay? Is everything right? It reminds me of when my kids were little and my mother would keep them. And my mother would say, and my wife couldn't stand this, but my mother would say, when the kids are with us, don't be calling all day, every day. We got them. They're going to be all right. We got them. They're going to be fine. If you drop them off with us, we're going to spend time with them. They spend enough time with y'all. So what you are not going to do is spend a few hours on the phone with them when it's our time, right? So what was my mother saying? Enjoy your vacation, right? Enjoy your time together. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so when we believe in God's word, but we don't trust God's timing, we're actually going on the journey, but we're not enjoying it. Because we keep saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Yo, do me a favor. When you trust God, give him the keys and walk away. Give him the keys and just look at the Grand Canyon. Just give him the keys and look at Times Square. Just give him the keys and look at the beautiful water in Key West, Florida, South Beach. Just give him the keys, y'all. And just look at the deserts in Arizona. Just give him the keys and see the skyscrapers in Motown in Chicago. Just give him the keys and sit back and enjoy the ride. Just give him the keys. And so Abraham and Sarah believed that there was power, but at our age, Lord, can you really? And the last one, impatience and taking matters into our own hands. We got to stop that, y'all. We got to stop that. You know the story, but I'm going to read through it for you real quick. Here's what impatience grows. After receiving the promise, many years passed without Sarah becoming pregnant. Both Abraham and Sarah grew impatient, so they could not see how the promise could come to pass given their advanced age, y'all. They couldn't see it. We pass age. We pass time. God, when you told us the promise, we was already. Now you just listen to me. Time passed does not mean God forgot, that God has given up, that God lied. Time passed just means time for preparation. That's it. You should be getting prepared. You should be naming, giving the baby a name. You should be getting the nursery together. You should be buying clothes. Y'all should be learning how to take care of a child. We spend so much time worrying again that when God's promises come to pass, we not prepared for it. We spend so much time gossiping. We spend so much time worrying, talking to folk on the phone about. We spend so much time at the break room talking about what's not, that when the promises finally come, you're not even prepared for it, because when they didn't happen, you were perplexed. Passing of time does not mean being perplexed. Passing of time means it's more time to get prepared. And so what happens? Here goes Sarah's solution. Yep. Genesis 16, 1 and 2 is right there. Sarah suggests that Abraham do what? Have a child with the Egyptian servant, Hagar. It's a sure thing. And so what happens when you don't know that it's a sure thing? It's a sure, you could bet that. Never got to sweat that. Now they sweating. Now they not betting on God. Now they sweating. And now they sweating. And now they talking to each other. And now when they start talking to each other, we done went away from God's promises now, so they done came up with their own plan. We went from God's promises to man's plans. It's a disaster waiting to happen. You know it's about to be destructive. You know it's about to be destroyed. And so here's her great plan. No, God had a phenomenal plan. We didn't went from God's plan to her plan. Oh, you know what? Maybe God did tell us we were supposed to have a child. But maybe since I'm barren and maybe you not barren, maybe you should just go ahead and sleep with the servant Hagar. And then that's what God meant. Oh, Lord, have mercy. The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. What part of stuck on stupid is this? What part of gambling? How you going to bet your whole, you going to be a great nation and you're going to be blessed? How you going to bet all that on a servant having sex outside of marriage with a servant? How you going to bet on, how did a sure thing come to just sleep with my servant and we just going to build a family through her? Okay, here go the second stuck on stupid thing that we do when somebody give us a plan outside of God's plan. Okay, it's not enough that the plan was a bad plan, but what we do is we entertain that foolishness and then we join in with it. And instead of continuing to trust God's promises and timing, Abraham agrees with Sarah's suggestion and slept with Hagar. Hagar conceived and gave birth to a son named Ishmael. We all know how that went. We see how it's going right now with the wars. We see what's happening with the wars. They still going after each other. There's still wars in the land where they were born. There's still war. We still suffering from this. Oh, my, I gotta go. We still suffering from this, man. From this plan, right? There's still destruction happening right now because of this plan. There's still war between the, to this day, there's still war. They're still fighting right now because of this relationship, because of this great idea. There's war. There are people dying, right? Because of this this stuff ain't, this plan hadn't even, this plan hadn't even stopped. It's still going on to this day. Like a lot of decisions we make outside of God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Let's end. God's timing, y'all. Trust in God's timing. Huh? Trust in God's timing. Huh? It's a sure thing. You could bet that. Never got to sweat that. You could bet that. Never got. You could bet God's plan for Abraham. You could bet God's plan for Sarah. God don't need us. I'm not talking about Sarah. I'm talking about us. God don't need Sarah's to make a plan for his plan. God don't need us to put a promise on top of his promise. He don't need us to perplex his promises, to destroy his promise. He don't need that. And so, saints, we got to do the right thing. And that's God's thing. We got to stop trying to help God, trying to fix God. We got to stop opening up our mouths and speaking against the words he spoke. He spoke the word. You ain't got to speak against the words he spoke. That's what we doing when we start doing all this talking. We're speaking against the word that God already spoke. He don't need no more speaking. He don't need no more talking. You don't got to add nothing to it. Just do what he told. Let's stand. Oh, my father, I apologize. I'm sorry, daddy, for all the words I put on your words. But when I switch your plans for my plans, I switch your plans out for my plans. I took your name, Yahweh, off of it, and I put Eric on it. And I destroyed some stuff. And I'm tired of destroying stuff, Lord. I'm tired of having areas in my life that aren't growing because I'm the one doing it. And I got the plan, and I done warded it. And I done put my seed on it. I'm doing my thing my way. You said, lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge me, and I shall direct thee. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Help me, Jesus. Please. It's a sure thing. Help me to stop making it unsure by adding my stuff to it. Forgive us for our sins and our shortcomings, Lord. Please. Have mercy upon us, Father. Please. Help us to turn this thing around by simply surrendering. I surrender all. Help us to surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. Help us to let go. Stop. Get out of the way. Move. Get out of the way. Help us, Lord, please. Help us, Father, please. We have messed our marriages up, our children up, our lives up. We've messed the church up. We've messed our businesses up, Lord. We've messed everything we've touched. We've destroyed. Now may we put it back in your hands. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, will seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven. And I will visit them, and I will heal their land. We humble ourselves before you, Lord, and we ask you to take back over. Here are the keys to our soul. Here are the keys to our soul, Father. Take back over. In Jesus' name, amen.
We really appreciate you spending your day with us, and we look forward to seeing you again on Wednesday evenings at 6 for Wednesday Night Word with Pastor TJ Tyus. For all of our announcements, upcoming events, and special programming, please visit our social media pages on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. Your tangible support of this ministry makes all the difference in the world, and we can't thank you enough for your commitment. If you'd like to support this ministry, please use our Cash App at $APOCGlobal. If you prefer a more traditional approach, visit our website at www.apocministry.org. On behalf of Pastors Thomas and Tyus, their wives and families, and the whole of your A Place of Change ministry family, until we meet again, be blessed.